Good afternoon, I'm John Lacken, and you're very welcome to Radio Maria Ireland. You're listening to the Traditional Catholic Family. This show is brought to you on behalf of Legio Sanctae Familiae, the Legion of the Holy Family, and I would like to begin, as always, with a prayer to Our Lady, asking her for guidance and protection for all married couples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Sce de vaha haura, atolon de grosta, ton tirnalat, hispania hu idir mana, agas hispania tara de vrina isen, and they have wura a war day, Guiaring the paci anish agasero ramash. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Traditional Catholic Family is broadcast on a weekly basis on Friday afternoons from 4 o'clock until about 4:30 or shortly thereafter. Today is Friday the 24th of June, the glorious feast of St. John the Baptist, after whom I believe I was named. My wife believes that this is most appropriate, as she thinks that I'm often like a voice crying in the wilderness, whom nobody wants to hear. In my family, there was a tradition that the first two girls would be named after their grandmothers and the first two boys would be named after their grandfathers. My eldest sister was named Catherine, after my maternal grandmother. My next sister, Anne-Marie, may she rest in peace, was named after my paternal grandmother, Anne. My older brother was named Michael, after my paternal grandfather. And I, being the fourth child and second son, was named John, after my maternal grandfather. My mother was born on her father's birthday, a beautiful birthday present, and that just happens to have been yesterday. So happy birthday, Shirley. I hope that all went well for you yesterday. Now, I can only presume that my grandfather John may have been named John on account of the fact that he was born on the eve of St. John the Baptist feasts. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I was named after St. John the Baptist. For the last 2 weeks, I outlined the contents of the talks that I've been giving around the country, and which we hope to begin again in September, and I'll update with dates on those once they're available. These talks looked at the decline in marriage and in morality in general in Western culture as it is today, and I pointed to the promotion of the traditional Catholic family as the most probable long-term solution to the problems we are experiencing in our society. When there are enough Catholic families living life in the traditional Catholic way, they will transform society for the better into a Catholic society. Without Catholic families, there will never be a Catholic society. But today, I want to return to the Church's teaching on modesty. Now, as usual, I am very happy to answer any questions that listeners may have, and to take suggestions for particular topics concerning the traditional Catholic family that you might like have to cover in a future program. If you would like to text the show at any point, the number is 085-120-8779. You can contact me by email, john@truedevotions.ie. And we also have a website, www.truedevotions.ie. Past programs are now available to listen to on the True Devotions website. If you just select the Legio Sanctae Familiae link, you will see the past programs listed there, and you can click on any link to listen to any of the past shows. I've also written extensively about traditional Catholic teaching on marriage and family life for the fortnightly newspaper, The Catholic Voice, and I now have 62 articles online on the website under the Marriage Articles link. Now, these articles are a treasure trove for anyone who wants to have a complete understanding of Church teaching on marriage. I take it from Genesis, I go right through it a couple of times, looking at different aspects from Scripture to the popes, etc. You can read the articles online, you can download them or send them to friends. All I ask is that you let people know who wrote them, let them know where they came from, so that together we can spread the beautiful teachings of the Catholic Church about marriage and family life. Now, before speaking on modesty, I know and I understand that this can be a difficult subject for women, especially when it may seem that a man is being critical of them and of how they dress, as if they haven't got enough on their plates already. But I would urge both women and men to try to look beyond the emotional and the personal in an effort to see what it is that our gracious Mother, the Catholic Church, is seeking to teach us about modesty, about the way we dress, through her catechism and through the writings of our popes, saints, and holy men and women. In an earlier program, I introduced the concept of modesty by noting that in the book of Genesis, we are told that God made clothes for Adam and Eve before they were banished from the Garden of Eden. Now, if God did something specific, and if he made sure that we were told about it in the inspired scriptures, then that means that it must be very important. Since the fall, clothes are important for mankind. Before the fall, clothing didn't matter because Adam and Eve had what is called perfect integrity. That is, their bodily passions were perfectly subject to the higher powers of their souls, namely their intellects and their wills. And we're told in the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve were naked. However, since the fall, man must engage in the battle against the three enemies of the soul: the world, ruled as it is by Satan; the flesh, our bodily flesh, now fallen and no longer perfectly subject to the intellect and the will. St. Paul tells us of the battle between the spirit and the body. And our third enemy is the devil, the arch enemy of man, who engineered the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. In a previous program on modesty, we looked at what the Catechism of the Catholic Church has to say about modesty. And I now want to look at what some of the popes have said in order for us to see how important this virtue of modesty is and to see just how deplorable the sin of immodesty is. On January the 6th, 1921, the Feast of the Epiphany, Pope Benedict the 15th issued an encyclical letter called Sacra Propedia, and that was on the Third Order of St. Francis. And in it, he identifies two dangerous passions that affect people. And I'm quoting. Now, there are two passions today dominant in the profound lawlessness of morals: an unlimited desire of riches and an insatiable thirst for pleasures. It is this which marks with a shameful stigma our epoch. Whilst it goes ceaselessly from progress to progress in the order of all which touches the well-being and convenience of life, it seems that in the superior order of honesty and of moral rectitude, a lamentable retrogression leads it back to the ignominies of ancient paganism. In that measure, in truth, wherein men lose sight of eternal goods which heaven reserved for them, they permit themselves to be more taken in by the deceitful mirage of the ephemeral goods here below. And once their souls are turned down towards the earth, an easy descent leads them insensibly to relax themselves in virtue, to experience repugnance for spiritual things, and to relish nothing outside the seductions of pleasure. Hence, the general situation which we note, with some the desire to acquire riches or to increase their patrimony knows no bounds. Others no longer know, as formerly, how to bear the trials which are the usual result of want or poverty. And at the very hour in which the rivalries we have pointed out set by the ears, the rich and the proletariat, a great number seem to wish to further excite the hatred of the poor by an unbridled luxury which accompanies the most revolting corruption. So that's Sacra Propedium, written to the Third Order Franciscans. That's number 18. So this thirst for riches and pleasures has continued unabated since Pope Benedict XV. And remember, he wrote this encyclical in 1921. In fact, it has gotten much worse. And in order to maintain a certain level of comfort and to avoid poverty, many will resort to contraception and to abortion, because now the presence of a defenseless child is seen as a threat to comfort, to prosperity, and so becomes an inconvenience to be taken care of by getting rid of the child. Unfortunately, men have lost sight of the eternal good of the soul of each new child. Pope Benedict XV, following on from his point about the loss of the sight of the spiritual realm, then speaks sadly of the immodesty of women. This is one of the points that women may find difficult to hear. From this point of view, one cannot sufficiently deplore the blindness of so many women of every age and condition, made foolish by desire to please. They do not see to what a degree the indecency of their clothing shocks every honest man and offends God. Unquote. And again, remember, this is 1921. This is before the modern fashions. Pope continues, most of them would formerly have blushed for those toilettes as for a grave fault against Christian modesty. Now, it does not suffice for them to exhibit them on the public thoroughfares. They do not fear to cross the threshold of the churches, to assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and even to bear the seducing food of shameful passions to the Eucharistic table, where one receives the heavenly author of purity. And we speak not of those exotic and barbarous dances recently imported into fashionable circles, one more shocking than the other. One cannot imagine anything more suitable for banishing all the remains of modesty. That's Sacra Propedium number 19. One of the sad things today is that most men and women are no longer shocked by immodest clothing. We have become so used to it on television, in ads, newspapers and magazines, that we no longer blush and avert our eyes from immodesty. Pope Benedict then addressed himself to the tertiary sisters of the Third Order of St. Francis, stressing the importance of holy modesty. Quote, in what concerns specially the tertiary sisters, we ask of them by their dress and manner of wearing it to be models of holy modesty for other ladies and young girls, that they be thoroughly convinced that the best way for them to be of use to the church and to society is to labour for the improvement of morals. That's Sacra Propedium 21. So the Pope tells us this is the best way for them to be of use to the church and to society is to labour for the improvement of morals. Pope Pius XI succeeded Pope Benedict XV in 1922. And in 1928, Pope Pius launched a crusade against immodesty. Crusade, very strong word. As part of this crusade, standards were issued by the cardinal vicar of Pope Pius XI, that was Cardinal Pompili, on the 24th of September 1928. And again, they gave a specific detail in relation to women's clothing. Many women say, but why doesn't the church tell us what's acceptable and what's not acceptable? Well, in 1928, the church set down a guideline. And I'm quoting from this document of Cardinal Pompili. A dress cannot be called decent which is cut deeper than two fingers' breadth under the pit of the throat, which does not cover the arms, at least to the elbows, and scarcely reaches beyond the knees. Furthermore, dresses of transparent materials are improper. Unquote. Now, what may shock the women of today, and perhaps the men, is that in 1930, as part of this crusade against immodesty, a letter of the Sacred Congregation of the Council was issued, and in that letter it stated, the immodest fashions of dress adopted by Catholic women and girls, which fashion not only offends the dignity of women, but conduces to the temporal ruin of the women and girls, and, what is still worse, to their eternal ruin, miserably dragging down others in their fall, unquote. So few people nowadays realize the danger that immodesty presents to the salvation of souls. As the letter said, immodesty conduces to the temporal ruin of women and girls and drags others down in that fall. And the congregation was specific. It speaks of eternal ruin. So we're talking about ruin for all eternity. The letter was addressed to the whole world, and included in the letter were some instructions. And I'm just going to read three of those instructions. I think there was about 12. The parish priest should command that feminine garb be based on modesty and womanly ornament be a defense of virtue. Let them likewise admonish parents to cause their daughters to cease wearing indecorous dress. Another one. Teachers must not receive in their colleges and schools immodestly dressed girls. And listen very carefully now to this third one. Maidens and women dressed immodestly are to be debarred from Holy Communion. Further, if the offense be extreme, they may even be forbidden to enter the church. Now today, there are those who falsely argue for the admission of the divorced and civilly remarried to Holy Communion. But how many people realize that one should not approach Holy Communion if one is immodestly dressed? And if immodesty is a sufficient cause to be barred from Holy Communion, then it is clear that immodesty is gravely offensive to God. How many priests are failing in their duty to the flock and to the salvation of souls by not pointing this out? How many parents are failing their children by not training them and expecting them to dress modestly? How many parents are setting a bad example for their own children by how they dress themselves? Catholic fathers, you need to study the mind of the church with regard to modesty, and you need to have a conversation with your wife and with your daughters in order to encourage them to dress with dignity. Catholic mothers and young women, you too need to study the mind of the church with regard to modesty, and you need to have a good look in the mirror to make sure that you comply with this most important of virtues. Catholic young men, you need to study the mind of the church with regard to modesty, and you need to make sure that you learn what is called custody of the eyes, so that you protect your chastity and you do not encourage immodesty in the young women that you socialize with. Pope Benedict XV's words to the tertiary sisters apply equally to all of us. We all need to promote modesty by our dress and our manner of wearing it. We need to become models of holy modesty for others, and together we need to labor for the improvement of morals in the world. I recently reopened the book that I have, I've mentioned it here before, by Father Matteo Crawley Boevi on promoting enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in family homes. Anyone who has listened to these shows will know of my deep devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But I was completely unaware and surprised to find that Father Matteo also spoke in very strong terms about this problem of immodesty. Here is what he had to say, and he's writing around the late 20s, 1930, sometime around then. I'm going to quote from him at length. He begins, he's speaking about reparation. Here, I should like to bring to a close this talk on reparation, but it would be cowardice on my part if, when speaking of the sins of friends, I were silent about that one which has provoked sorrow and righteous anger in our Holy Father. I refer to the great sin of immodesty, of shamelessness among many Catholics, and even as the Pope says, among the pious and the devout. Unquote. So he begins by speaking about the sins of friends. It is Catholics who are dressing immodestly. And he continues, "I think, nay, I am certain, that the indignation of the Vicar of Christ exactly reflects the deep wound inflicted on the Sacred Heart, a wound rendered crueler still by the fact that so few have obeyed the Pope by changing their behaviour in this matter. This canker is eating away the best elements of Christian society, insensibly perverting and paganizing families, which are by tradition Christian and religious. Immodesty and frivolity mask a true carnival of sin." Unquote. So once again we learn that immodesty is gravely offensive to God, and Father Mateus tells us that it wounds the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He continues, "I fear the wanton disregard shown by many Christians for the Pope's grief and for his explicit pronouncement on decorum and dress will bring a curse on those who are still grieving the Sovereign Pontiff. I hope I am mistaken, but I feel that I am not. Woe to those women who incur the responsibility of many a grave sin by going about insufficiently and immodestly clad. Woe to those mothers who tolerate these abuses in their daughters and let their little ones go about half-dressed, thus accustoming them to a nudity which the Church condemns, and who, on the pretext that their children are innocent, culpably disobey the Pope and bishops. If such mothers only knew what they are laying up for themselves later on, but they foolishly imagine they know better than their pastors. Today they smile, careless of the consequences. Tomorrow, alas, their tears will choke them." Unquote. I think we are living in the time of the curse which Father Matteo prophesied would come if people did not heed the Pope in his call for modesty and dress. We have widespread contraception, widespread abortion, widespread divorce, widespread cohabitation, widespread births out of wedlock. Our society is falling apart because people did not listen when they were warned. Father Matteo then goes on to tell us who exactly it is that he is speaking to. "I am not alluding to evil-minded, worldly people. I am lamenting an inconceivable aberration on the part of persons who are actually frequent communicants. May our blessed Lord pardon them. How are we to explain this incredible blindness, this tenacity in following indecent fashions in a professedly good Catholic woman? Is this depravity on her part? No, but she loves herself much more than she loves Jesus Christ. Hence, the absurd anomaly of her wearing an immodestly no-necked dress and yet displaying a medal of the Immaculate Virgin or bearing within her heart the Sacred Host." Unquote. Father Matteo then goes on, and he addresses Jesus and Our Lady. And in this text, you can almost hear him weeping the deep tears of sadness as he writes, "Ah, Jesus, did they but truly love thee with the passion of a bride for her newly wedded spouse or the rapture of a mother for her little babe, they could never thus offend thee. A wife who truly loves her husband will never dress in a manner displeasing to him. But how few fear to offend thee, Jesus, the love of loves. O Immaculate Queen, of thy mercy, work a great miracle in Christian homes for the glory of Jesus and to close the gates of hell to so many souls. Tear away the thick veil which blinds so many women to this evil which the Roman Pontiff deplores so bitterly. But above all, O sweetest Mother, instill into their hearts a passionate love of Jesus that will lift them above the follies of the world, which incites them to set even the lowest passions before thy Jesus, his heart and his law." Unquote. So as you can see, Father Mateo is very, very strong against immodesty. As I say, I was actually surprised because I hadn't fully read the whole of the book. It's called The King of Love, and I had a bookmark in it, and I came across it the other week, and I just started reading. I was actually thinking about what I was going to talk about on the show and write for the articles, and I wanted to come back to the whole subject of modesty and immodesty. And it's rare nowadays to hear a priest speak so passionately and so obviously in love with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And how foolish we are to ignore this cancer of immodesty in our midst. We must wake up and begin to react against it. We must reclaim our dignity as men and women created in the image and likeness of God. And we must dress accordingly. Next week, I want to look at Pope Pius XII, who continued the crusade against immodesty, and to see what he had to say. On one occasion, in November 1957, he addressed, interestingly, a group of fashion designers on the moral problems in fashion design. And again, that should be very, very interesting to see that. Before I go, can I please ask once again, ask you to continue praying for several Catholic families that I know of who are experiencing real difficulties in their marriage. I mentioned before, some of them are separated, which is particularly sad once there's children there. It's sad always, but just there's a particular sadness where there are children. And again, I would also like you to your continued prayers for my wife, Nomi. She was in hospital for almost 3 weeks. She's home, she's recovering well, but it's a little bit slow. And just again, so just I'd appreciate any prayers that you can spare, if you like, for that. If you'd like to contact me regarding anything that you've heard on the show or regarding any topic you'd like to see covered, you can contact me in any of the following ways, by text or by phone on 085-120-8779. That's 085-120-8779. You can contact me by email, john@truedevotions.ie. And you can also make contact through the website, www.truedevotions.ie. And I also, when I have time, I upload the shows to the website as well. So they're available there if you want to listen back or there's something you thought you misheard or you'd like to hear again, you can actually catch the shows there. Finally, I would just like to mention again that two Benedictine priests of Abbey St. Joseph de Clerval in France will be conducting the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola at Ord's Friary in Donegal this July. It's a 5-day silent retreat for men from Saturday the 17th to Friday the 22nd of July this year. If you've never done the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, then I highly recommend them. They're a life-changing experience. And they'll give you the tools that you need to understand what's going on in the world and also to help you to discern how best to follow God's will. They're an amazing experience. The monks will also conduct a day and a half silent retreat for women beginning at 3 p.m. on Friday the 15th of July and ending on Sunday the 16th of July at 6 p.m. And again, that's in Ord's Friary. And if you'd like more details on either of these retreats or if you'd like to book a place, then please email me as john@truedevotions.ie. So that's all for today. As I say, next week I'm hoping to have a look at Pope Pius XII, what he had to say on modesty, and in particular his address to the Latin Fashion Conference. So that's all for today. I'm John Lacken, and may God bless you.